Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
All right, now joining us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is ESPN Sports Center anchor and a lady who has become a legend in the sports broadcasting business, and that's Linda Cohn. Let me give you some background on Linda. She's from Long Island, New York. In high school, she played hockey and was the goaltender on the boys' hockey team. After graduating from Newfield High, she attended State University of New York at Oswego, where she earned her degree in communications and played goalie on the women's team. She was inducted into their Athletics Hall of Fame in 2006. After graduating, Linda worked at a number of different sports radio stations around New York. In 1987, she made history by becoming the first full-time female sports anchor on a national network when she was hired by ABC. She anchored WABC and their talk radio from 1987 to 1989, started in television in 88 when she was hired by the Sports Channel of America, then in 92 became SportsCenter host at ESPN, joining Chris Myers for the first time on July 11th that year, and we've gotten to know her ever since. In 2008, she wrote her memoir, which is titled Conehead, a no-holds-barred account of breaking into the boys' club. You can find it on Amazon and all the other book sites as well, and we are very honored she is with us tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Linda, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming on the show.
Hi, Linda.
Hey, guys. I appreciate it. Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So, Linda, first of all, thank you very much for the wonderful video that you did for us, helping us celebrate our 9-year anniversary. And folks, if you haven't seen it, please go on our website, ThursdayNightTailgate.com. It's really fantastic. We appreciate that you did that for us.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Congrats. Really, it's not easy to do what you guys are doing. And you started it, you know, way back. Well, it seems like everyone is doing it now, but you guys doing it for 9 years, pretty impressive.
So Linda, take us back to the beginning. I read that you played street hockey with the boys growing up on Long Island. Talk about that and where the love of sports and hockey came from.
Well, honestly, growing up in New York, and my dad was a big influence, just watch games with him. My teams growing up were the Rangers, the Giants, the Mets. He loved the Yankees, but, I had to go against him on one team. I think the Mets needed my support more. And of course, I like the Knicks, but, that's where my love for sports and passion for sports came directly from my dad. My mother was the one, that basically, drove me, an hour each way to a hockey rink where girls were allowed to play with boys, playing hockey. I just fell in love with hockey because, just an exciting game. And I played street hockey with the guys, realized I was really good at being a goalie. And, my mother found this league in Farmingdale on Long Island. And I had to play with boys that were like, when I started playing hockey, I was 14. I had to start with boys that were 8 years old because they didn't let girls play with boys their age. And it was really eye-opening to me, but you're a kid, you block that out because you just want to play. So it really kind of, I always like to say this, and I talk about it in my book, Conehead, the fact that playing hockey with the boys and hearing, Trump blocking out, I learned to block out the noise, let's put it that way, from people who didn't understand or was criticizing it. And that helped me in my career when I broke into the boys club, and still doing it. I'm also doing radio on SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio, sports talk. So, it's been good.
And you go on in college, you play goalie on the girls' hockey team. And I got to wonder if women's hockey had advanced quicker, would you have loved the opportunity to maybe play on a U.S. Olympic team?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, my goodness, so great to see women's hockey and the way the game has developed and improved over the years from when I played. But of course, who wouldn't want to have that opportunity to play in the Olympics? But I'm just thankful, for the young women who have that opportunity now. It's really great. And probably I would have loved to, have a shot to try out in, for, you know, National Hockey League or American Hockey League. I did a thing with the Florida Panthers. It was actually, they were down to their emergency goalies, and kudos to their PR staff. They did this whole, event about open tryouts for goaltenders, and they had a, you know, they allowed media to do it, you know, people who played, of course, the position. And I was one of those people. So I was like, I tried out, you know, to be an emergency goaltender for the Florida Panthers about 5 or 6 years ago. Anyone who could just look on YouTube and, you know, put Linda Cohn, Florida Panthers tryout, and you'll see the story that I did and how much fun that was, you know, facing, you know, shots, you know, from National Hockey League players in this tryout. It was pretty cool. I did pretty well too. So, but I did not make the team.
Linda, you talk about blocking out the noise, and I want to get your thoughts. I mean, sports talk radio and the business broadcasting hasn't always been kind to women. And you talk about in the title of your book, right, Breaking into the Boys Club. I'm sure it wasn't always easy. I'm sure it wasn't always welcome. What were some of the barriers that people put in front of you that that you were actually able to get over?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I just tried to not let that interfere with my goal, but there's just so much you can do. You know, you can show up to interviews, you can do air checks and not get replies and have, you know, stupid responses from people in hiring positions. You know, it was just kind of insulting, you know, type of thing where you, you know, but you just go on to the next, right? You know, you just keep trying. And that's what I did. I just never gave up on my dream. I always had backup plans too, meaning if I couldn't get the, you know, the radio job, I couldn't get the TV job in sports, well, then I guess, you know, I want to be in sports so bad, I'll work in PR. You know, I always wanted to be involved in sports in some capacity. And I think just my perseverance and my knowledge and my passion and then networking and being at games and not expecting to be paid while covering teams. I started out covering, you know, the New York Islanders hockey team in my first job when I was a newscaster on a 50,000 watt, you know, radio station in Patchogue, Long Island. And I volunteered to cover the Islanders. And, you know, that word volunteer, you know, people, young people nowadays, men or women, always expect to get compensated. But if it wasn't for me taking a chance, I never would have met people in the business to see what I'm all about, to see, you know, that I was the real deal. And they gave me opportunities along the way to perform on every big stage. And that was huge. And it's always about putting yourself in position to get a break. And that's what I did. And, you know, and that's what I always, when I talk to young people about it, men and women, I just say, that's what you have to do. And you can't worry about what you're getting paid. Can't compare yourself to others. You know, things like this, you just have to stay on track with your goal. And that's what I did. So that's when I look back, that was really a big reason for my success with each stop. And then finally, you know, after working in Seattle, where people, when I will work 7 days a week in New York, freelancing radio and small town cable TV on Long Island for about 2 years. And then, I started, you know, looking into TV, and I thought about, where do I want to work? Where would be a nice place to work? And I knew I couldn't jump right into New York City. And I fell in love with Seattle, Washington, because I had covered the Calgary Olympics back in 1988 for ABC Radio. And I thought Seattle was most like, you know, Calgary, which I really enjoyed, that town in Western Canada. And Seattle was, you know, was not like it is now. It was just, it was beautiful. It was in its infant stages of popularity. And that's where I got my first TV job, by just sending out, before social media, sending out an air check of my work at these local Long Island cable TV places. And then it took a year, and then that was my big break. And then there is where ESPN spotted me.
So let's talk about something that I have to believe is a highlight of your time at ESPN, because when I look back at all of the things that you did, the This Is SportsCenter commercial with former Rangers goalies Henrik Lundqvist and Mike Richter, I got to imagine is a highlight.
That's really funny. No, you're right. That is definitely up there, for sure. I mean, you know, that's when we all can relate to this, right? When we grow up sports fans, and there you're having an opportunity on a very informal stage as opposed to covering them, right? You know, to do this commercial with two of your, first of all, the Rangers, who I grew up loving, and then two great people playing my position, right? Goaltender. And so having that, spending, you know, hours upon hours shooting those commercials with them, that was absolutely tremendous. So definitely you're on point. Yes, that was great. That's right up there.
So bigger highlight doing that, or the romance with Mr. Met?
That will always be special, what we had. But, you know, there were just so many amazing moments that I've had at ESPN. And, you know, but one of the greatest moments is the opportunity that when the Rangers back in the day won the Stanley Cup, which I never thought was going to happen in my lifetime, I was able, through a mutual friend, Bruce Beck, who works for the local New York NBC TV station for years and years, just a great talent, and he was covering the Rangers, and he was at the door of the Rangers Stanley Cup party celebrating, and he let me in that party, and I drank from the Stanley Cup that night,
night
the Rangers won the cup. So that, I have to say, trumps everything you just said regarding my relationship with Matt and shooting This Is Sports at a commercials with two amazing goaltenders, and Mike Richter and Henrik Lundqvist. But, you know, it's right up there. I'm not complaining. But, you know, it's just, it's great. I mean, you guys know. I mean, it's just, when you love sports, we're just lucky to be doing this for a living.
Five questions for Linda.
Yeah, Linda, it's an honor to speak with you. I just wanted to revisit your college roots for 1 second. You know, here you are on Long Island. Just wanted to know how you came upon SUNY Oswego. Was it the hockey thing, Linda? Or, I mean, I'm a Fordham guy. I went to journalism school just for that. Tell me about your choice of college.
Yeah, it's a really good question. Yeah, Oswego State, there was no other connection other than, you know, back in the day, again, I'm using that phrase a lot, but it's true, they used to have college catalogs, you know, and I remember, you know, I used to, but not only did I play hockey before, you know, in high school and all that, I was on the boys' tennis team, and I loved tennis. You know, my parents were big tennis players, and that was the time, tennis on Long Island, the U.S. Open, it was a big deal back in those days. And so I just remember, like, the keys for me, looking in this college catalog and seeing all the pretty pictures, I remember about Oswego State, yes, a women's hockey team. That was right up on top, okay? There was no question about it. Because back in the day, and also my grades weren't great. You know, I just played sports so much, loved sports. I was, not like I was dumb, but I just did not put any effort into high school at all. You know, I just settled for really like C pluses and Cs. And I couldn't, the dream colleges I really wanted to go to were like McGill University in Montreal or Boston University, you know, big time hockey school, Cornell, right? But my grades were awful. So I couldn't even think about getting in. And back then they didn't have scholarships for women. So in hockey. So, anyway, long story short, I'm looking through a catalog and I'm seeing, oh my God, these sunsets are amazing right over Lake Ontario. And Oswego is known for these amazing sunsets. And, you know, you see pictures of people playing students playing frisbee by the sunset and all these kind of things, you know, like really unbelievable stuff. And so it had the hockey team. It had a great communication studies broadcasting program. So there was that. And, you know, and it had actually, and a tennis team too. And so that really was the reason why I picked Oswego State. And it was far enough away from Long Island, but also close enough. You know, it was about six and a half hours away. So, but that's how I came upon Oswego State, and I'll never regret it. It's a great place, and you know what, guys, sunsets were beautiful.
Still are. and Linda, Chris had mentioned you anchoring your first Sports Center with Chris Myers. To me, Chris Myers has been one of the more polished, incredible, maybe underrated sports journalists out there. Very versatile. Tell me about your relationship with him, your opinion of him, and how great this guy really is.
Oh, yeah. Chris is great. First of all, he's a great friend. I still keep in touch with him. I should keep more in touch with him, but he's a busy guy, as you know, working for Fox. But he's just wonderful, and he was just a gentleman. I mean, I broke in July of 1992 on ESPN, and while there were a couple women before me at ESPN, no one had the workload I did hosting SportsCenter. I was doing the late show with him. This was when it was repeated all overnight before they had morning sports centers. And we went on the air at 2 a.m. Eastern. That was my debut show on a Saturday night. And he was great. I felt so comfortable. You know, I was a little nervous, but he was just tremendous. But there was so many talented people that have come through ESPN. Some have stayed, some have left. But I think I've worked with every one of them, to be honest with you, hosting SportsCenter, because I've been there so long. And they did a fun thing a few years ago that I've done the most SportsCenter's man or woman ever at ESPN. And they did a little thing, on the show. And that was a real special moment for me, for them to acknowledge that. So I must have worked with probably 50 or 60 different co-anchors along the way.
So Linda, I got to ask you. Bigger honor, being inducted into the Oswego's Athletic Hall of Fame back in 2006, or having a sub sandwich named after you at Oswego Sub Shop?
That's great. Yeah, I mean, both amazing, but man, having a sandwich named after me, and that place at Oswego Sub Shop, that is an iconic place. You know, every college campus, right, has one of those amazing places that has been there since the dawn of time. That's what the Oswego Sub Shop is and continues to be. So to have a sandwich, by the way, it's pretty healthy. It's grilled chicken, banana peppers, avocado. You know, I had to, go a little healthy. But I love food. So I think that has to get the edge.
Linda, we got to get your thoughts on your Giants. Amazingly still alive at 5-8, one game behind the Washington football team. So your thoughts on the Giants and their opportunity. Can they get it done this year and actually win that wacky NFC East?
The answer is no. Sadly, a week ago, it was great. The amazing, Colt McCoy came in, managed the game perfectly. What I do love about my Giants right now, and they're only going to get better, is the incredible job by defensive coordinator Patrick Graham with this defense. This is like the defense of old. They are on their way. I've just been so pleasantly surprised by the growth of the defense and how they've kept the offense in game. I honestly, guys, have never, I'm going to say the person's name. People kid about it, but it's really true. I mean, I make a joke myself about it, but I've always loved Eli Manning unconditionally. I kid about, like, I'm president of his fan club, and the way the Giants pushed Daniel Jones into that starting role, I believe a little bit too earlier than he should have been. I'm still not a believer in Daniel Jones as their franchise quarterback. I wasn't when that selection was made by Dave Gettleman, and I'm still not. And if this guy can't move, which we saw last week because of his multiple injuries that he's nursing, and I feel for him, but if Daniel Jones is not mobile, and I tweeted this, I said, what is he? And he's not a number one quarterback. And so he's got a lot to learn. So, moving forward, as we speak, it's not official if Jones is going to be under center this week. And, Colt McCoy can only do so much. But I, right at this moment as I speak to you, I have more faith in Colt McCoy putting the Giants in position to win this division than I do with Daniel Jones, not at 100% health.
Bob, one more for Linda before we let her go.
Yes, Linda, since you're a hockey person, I mean, some of my great memories here in Connecticut are going to the Hartford Civic Center, 80s and 90s. And I got a few times, I had the opportunity to see Wayne Gretzky play. And Wayne Gretzky against those Whaler teams back then, that was one of those times in sports, Linda, where you said to yourself, this is a man playing against boys, that kind of freakish talent and everything. Wonder if you had any interaction with him over the years. I'm sure you have, and your opinion of him.
Oh, yeah. Definitely have a lot of interaction with Wayne Gretzky. Gentleman, class act, everything you've heard about him is true. Just an incredible human, really. And we know about he's the greatest of all time. He's the great one. His whole thing was that, you know, people who don't know hockey, you know, you look at the guy, he was always very slender. He was slight, you know, no meat on his, but he knew the game so well and he anticipated where the puck was going to be. It's just so smart. I mean, you can equate it to football and the NFL, you know, and the greatest quarterbacks of all time and how smart they are and why they're successful. You know, it's the same thing when you're talking about a guy like Wayne Gretzky. And now, you know, the league is in great hands with so many young stars. And you see a lot of this. You know, you saw, like, before we get to the young stars, you know, Sidney Crosby to me is still, you know, one of the greatest ever. I love watching Sid play for the Pittsburgh Penguins. He has that Gretzky-like trait, which he's not a big man. He anticipates where the puck is going. He's just so smart. And then it's a speed game right now. So they're so fun to watch. The Connor McDavids of Edmonton. Amazing. Nathan MacKinnon of Colorado. Both so fast, electrifying, just to name two players. And, you know, the game is in great hands right now.
Linda, before we let you go, let our listeners know how they can get a copy of your book and what you talk about in it, and then also follow you on social media.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, I wrote this book back. It was published in 2008. So you could probably get it really cheap on Amazon right now, and it's called Conehead, No Holds Barred Account of Breaking Into the Boys Club. And at Linda Cone on Twitter, Instagram, and also you can catch my shows on SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. I usually fill in for the legend, the doggy, Christopher Mad Dog Russo, and work on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern as well. And I host In the Crease on ESPN Plus, a hockey highlight show. And the season hopes to be back January 13th. And they'll give it a go, following in the footsteps of the NBA. So we'll see how that goes in these very challenging times for all of us.
Well, Linda, we can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule to come and be a part of the show. We hope you'll do it again sometime. You're fantastic, and we're huge fans.
I appreciate you guys, and keep up the great work. It was my pleasure.
Thank you, Linda.
Happy Hanukkah. Stay safe
thank
out there.
You. Happy holidays.
See
Merry
you,
Christmas.
Take
bye
care.
Bye.
See you, Linda. That's a great Linda Cone, Bob. Doesn't get much better than that.
Nah, she's been doing it for a long time, Chris. And, you know, having been in Connecticut for so long when she was here, you know, she was a staple in any time you turned on the television. But so polished and really knows all sports. And we hope that she can join us sometime again. We'll be able to talk a lot longer.
We've got our next guest, Paul Alexander, hanging on the line. We're going to get to Paul right on the other side of this real quick station break.